people will not understand when we make up our minds passionately to do the will of God.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today on choosing God's way. Choosing God's way. I ask you often to pray for me, and many of you do, and many write to say so. I ask you to pray that the Lord will give me words to say and that the hearers will have ears to hear and to obey. And I get many letters that tell me that the Lord is answering those prayers. And so for the encouragement of you who have told me that you pray for me and for Gateway to Joy and for all who work for Gateway to Joy. And for your encouragement, I just wanted to give you a few comments that have come to me from listeners. One wrote, "Your talks turn my eyes to Jesus, who is my all in all." Someone else wrote, "Something to hang my heart on." That's what Gateway to Joy is. A man wrote, "I stop my road machine in order to listen." There are stories of changed minds. Isn't that amazing? Well, the amazing part is the grace, amazing grace. In 1 Corinthians 3, 7-9, there are some verses that I need to read often to myself. "Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." And if you're praying for me, you are in your prayers working with God. So I do thank you. Now for this week's topic, I want to read to you some of the problems that listeners have written to me about. "I'm unemployed, and I have a PhD. Another wrote, "I have two totally impossible sons, ages 18 and 21. Another, "My son is in a coma, and we are being taught to refuse suffering, and we are trying to muster up faith enough to raise him up." I think that's a very confused line of thought when Christians are telling other Christians that they should refuse suffering. It's very clear that Paul accepted the thorn that he was given in the flesh in order to learn the sufficient grace of God. Another one wrote, "We lived in a commune. We were manipulated and tyrannized. I blamed God. I was disillusioned, but God held my hand in spite of fears and doubt, and showed me my bitterness and resentment. Your message on material for sacrifice led to healing and growth. I am now married. My husband makes $13,000 a year, but we are never in want." Another said, "I have three unmarried children, five grandchildren, each with a different father." How are we to choose God's way in situations like this? So often I'm just stunned to silence when I read about other people's problems. I want to read to you from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." clear statement that we are given a choice. Will you choose God's way? This is when Moses was giving the terms of the covenant to Israel. Moses, you remember, chose affliction. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Mary of Bethany chose that good part, which Jesus said would not be taken away from her. She chose to sit at Jesus' feet. You've often heard me speak of obedience, of the need to choose what God wants, and to put ourselves unreservedly and forever at His disposal. It's the will that acts in these decisions, not the emotions, not the sentiments. The business we transact with God must be transacted by a willed choice. Every day I have to make up my mind to get myself out of bed. That is not a decision made on the basis of my feelings. How many of you feel like getting up the second you hear the alarm clock go off? Well, some of you would say, I do. Most of you would say, oh, no. Don't tell me it's 6 o'clock already, or 7 o'clock, or 5 o'clock, or whatever time you get up. We will to put our feet on the floor, and we put ourselves in a vertical position. You will to brush your teeth and put your clothes on and eat your breakfast or not eat your breakfast and catch the train or miss the train. All of those things are decisions, and they have nothing to do with emotions and sentiments. Very often, our emotions and our sentiments would be quite opposed to doing that particular thing. The business we transact with God must be transacted by a willed choice. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all willpower. Let's be clear about that. The grace of God meets us instantly, right there, at the point where we make up our mind to choose God's way. I have a friend in California named Denise Cole. On her license plate, she has the words, As for me, ASFORME, seven letters that fit on a California license. Well, that's from Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I asked Denise about that, and she said it gives me many opportunities to explain to people that I'm on the Lord's side. Misunderstanding is common to those who care for nothing so passionately as they care for God's will. People will not understand when we make up our minds passionately to do the will of God. We are going to be considered perhaps oddball, eccentric, even a freak, and even just plain nuts. Are you willing for that kind of misunderstanding? Do you care enough to be an obedient follower of Jesus Christ, to be thought different, peculiar? You'll have to say, you may do as you choose. God gives you the choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a private crisis. Nobody can help you. Once you've made that decision in secret, then when the consequences start coming, you won't budge. The decision was a non-negotiable decision. Young people who ask me, how far can I go? Speaking, of course, of physical contact with a member of the opposite sex who is very attractive to them. Well, what can I say? Don't touch him. Don't let him touch you. I can tell them that that is a safe rule. They're never going to find themselves in bed by mistake. They're not going to find themselves pregnant when they had no idea of getting pregnant if they don't ever allow a touch. But I'm not going to tell them that the first touch is a mortal sin. But what I do tell them is you have got to make up your mind before God how God wants you to behave in the dark, in the place of temptation, with a person of the opposite sex who is very attractive to you. And if you don't make up your mind in silence and honesty before God, before you get yourself in that kind of a physical situation, I dare say the consequences are going to start coming. But if you make up your mind ahead of time, it is a non-negotiable decision. You don't need to budge. If you haven't made the decision, you'll budge. You'll awaken sympathy for yourself, and that is always a bad sign. It is always a bad sign to awaken sympathy for yourself. Making excuses, explanations, but see, I mean, but, you know, wow, I mean, like, well, I really didn't expect it to happen, and I don't know how it happened, but, you know, I mean, just somehow or other, we just went too far, and, well, I've heard it all. I've heard it so many times. Often the story is told to me with tears, if only, if only, if only. If only somebody had told me. If only I'd read my Bible. If only I'd prayed about it. If only I'd made the irrevocable decision. God will prove himself faithful to you if you make that decision.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.